this morning. Thank you so much that we know that you have paid our ransom, Lord, that if we are in you, then the Father is in you and you are in us. And Lord, thank you so much, Lord, that we can live that way. We can live knowing that our life is in you. And Lord, I just pray that you would continue to guide and direct us in our lives as we turn to you, as we seek you. Lord, that you would be the one that leads us. Lord, I know so quickly the things of this world, the cares of this world, burden us, hold us down. But Lord, I pray that we would be lightened in you. Lord, that our burdens would be lifted, that we would cast them off, as the song says, that we would cast our burdens at Calvary, Lord, and leave them there, because that is the price that you have paid. We have no reason to carry them anymore. And Lord, I pray that we would have the faith and the courage to do this and allow you to carry them for us. Thank you so much, Lord, for all that you have done and continue to do in our lives. I pray that you would be here amongst us this morning, Lord, as we worship you and as we praise you, for you are worthy, Lord. And I pray that we would offer up a sacrifice of praise, not of our own, but Lord, that it would just be a sweet aroma to you from what you have given to us already. And that's what we would offer back. And we just honor and thank and praise you this morning in Jesus' name. Let's all stand. If you can't, you can't sit and sing this song.
Jesus. Is there a children's lesson this morning? Okay. So, do you want to have that now, and then I'll do the announcements.
Okay, all the kids can come up.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Are we going to eat that?
Maybe. What do you think is in here?
I don't know.
Oh, shall we make a circle?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you guys hungry?
Yeah.
I was hoping you were hungry.
Yeah.
Woo! Okay, let's just look at them till we have the story, okay?
Okay.
Let me just lift them up a little. Look.
Woo!
What are these?
You just get them from the farm.
I just got them yesterday.
Did you just get them from
freshly picked? No, actually not. From
that's
Safeway.
A big one.
Look at this one. What do you call this? What do you call these?
Grapes.
Yeah, what kind of, like, is it a cluster? Or is it just one grape?
Cluster.
It's a cluster of grapes. So, do you think there's a story in the Bible about a cluster of grapes?
You think so? Yeah.
It's kind of one.
Yeah,
we don't hear it very often, do we? So I'm going to give you each a sheet so you can look at the picture while we read the story and see if you remember the story. Do you remember it?
Yeah,
do you want to pass them out? I know. I had to go back and read it again because it's been a long time. Okay, so the story is about spies that were sent into Canaan. You remember that story?
Yeah.
And it's in Numbers 13, 1 through 14 and 45. So I'll read it to you and then we'll talk about it. God spoke to Moses and asked him to send some men to spy out the land of Canaan. God was giving this land to the Israelites, and he wanted them to know more about it before they arrived. Did you each get one? Do you want one? Do you have one more? Do I have enough?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay. Okay, so let's listen to the story, and then we'll look at the picture, okay? So God wanted Moses to send men out to spy out the land of Canaan. Do you remember how many men went to spy it out?
12.
Ooh, 12.
12.
7.
12.
Okay, let's listen. Let's see if it's in the story. God was giving this land to the Israelites, and he wanted them to know more about it before they arrived. It's a really good idea, isn't it?
Yep.
To know about where you're going before you get there. Moses chose one man from each tribe to go on this mission. They traveled for 40 days and collected fruits from the land. The 12. Who said 12? Did you say 12? 12. The 12 spies saw that. There's 12 spies. That the land of Canaan was full of good things. That's a paper clip. I'll take that one. Thank you. Thanks. Okay. They saw beautiful mountains, maybe like our mountains and valleys, and the land was full of grapes and figs and pomegranates. In one place, just before they came back to the camp, they cut down a cluster of ripe grapes, which was so large that two men carried it between them, hanging from a staff. Okay, do you see that top picture?
Yeah.
So it was so large that it took two men to carry it, and they had to put a stick in here to carry it back to the camp. That's a ton of grapes, because this bowl is even heavy, and I bet it was bigger than that. Okay, they also saw people living in the land, and some of them were very tall and strong. The spies even saw the descendants of Anak, who were giants. That sounds scary, right? When the spies returned, they told Moses and the Israelites what they had seen. They said that the land was indeed good, but the people living there were very strong and their cities were fortified. Do you know what fortified means?
No.
When a city is protected, usually by big walls, and they had lots of people, you know, on the walls protecting so that if anybody came into the city, that they couldn't get in. because it was protected. The Israelites were afraid and didn't want to go to the land. They said it would be better if they went back to Egypt. Caleb and Joshua, two of the spies, told the people that they could conquer the land with God's help. They had faith because they knew God. Caleb quieted the people before Moses by saying, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the other 10 spies did not believe that the Israelites could conquer the land, and they gave a bad report to the people. They said that the land was full of giants and the people living there were too strong. The Israelites believed the bad report and they rebelled against Moses and God. They even talked about choosing a new leader and going back to Egypt. Moses interceded for the people, asking God to forgive them and to please not to destroy them. He reminded God of his promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give their descendants the land of Canaan. God promised to pardon the people, but because of their lack of faith, they would have to wander in the wilderness for 40 years, and only their children would enter the promised land. The men who had given a bad report died by a plague, except for Joshua and Caleb, who had faith in God. Later, when the Israelites tried to enter the promised land, they were defeated in battle. This was because they had disobeyed God and had not trusted in him. God did not go with them into battle because they had turned away from him. The Israelites realized their mistake and mourned, but it was too late. They had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years before entering the promised land. So when I think about this lesson, it makes me want to trust God when he says, go do something, right? Makes us want to trust and obey him because we know if he asks us to do something, he's going to help us. He's going to go with us and he's going to look out for us. So I think next week when we start on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, when you do school or some chores around the house or playing with your siblings and something comes up or a movie and you think, oh, what would God want me to do in this situation? You can always pray to him and ask him for help. You can trust him. So that's the story of the spies. How many spies were there? Do you remember? 12 spies. And what did they bring back to the camp?
Grapes.
Do you guys want some grapes?
Yeah.
Okay. How about
they're
we all have mine some grapes?
Okay, so instead of you all going back with these big clusters, why don't we cut some of them like this? If you want them in a baggie, you can, or you can just take them like that. If you want them in a baggie? Okay, why don't you each take a baggie? Do you want to pass them around and I'll cut them? You want a little more? There you go. Do you want some? Did you get a bag?
I want a small one.
You want a small one?
Uh-huh.
Okay. That's kind of big.
I want this one.
You want that one? You can have that one. Anybody else want a small one?
No.
I want a huge one.
You want a huge one? Here's
share with you, Susie?
Yeah.
You're welcome. You guys can go back.
I'm ready.
You want more? Okay.
I'll get through.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all here. I have to say, sorry for that little hiccup, but it's funny how it works because I was wondering all morning what to say and how I could kind of open up. Well, I have something to say. The Lord overlooks our imperfections sometimes, and He can still use us if we're willing, have a willing heart. And So if anyone feels like it was kind of imperfect this morning, you were here and you gave what you had, so that's the important part. So it's good to see everyone here. Just a few announcements. We do have lunch again today following the service, so everyone's welcome to stay for that. Wednesday night, there's a book study, Heart of a Warrior, at John Esch's house at 6:30. So if anybody needs more information, you can contact Phil about that. Normal Saturday morning prayer meeting at 7 a.m. Our annual youth retreat's coming up, August 7th through 11th. Please spread the word to anyone that you know that might be interested in that. And there's also a Walker Hymn Sing Saturday, June 15 at 6 p.m. Flyers are in the back if you want more information on that. So, Eli will be sharing the word with us today, so let's just pray and then I'll turn the time over to him. Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you that you're with us. And just pray that you would speak through Eli this morning and just guide his thoughts and give him the word that you want us to hear this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Oh, yes, it's on. Awesome. I need the black thing. You know what I mean by that. This thing? Isn't it easy? Everything is a thing. That's the beauty about English. This thing, with that thing, easy, easy peasy. So, how many Sundays have we been talking, sharing about the book of Colossians? It's been more than once. Do you agree with that? Okay. So, I just found out that I've been saying Colossians instead of Colossians. The Lord had to give me grace to forgive my wife for not telling me that I've been saying Colossians. And everybody's wondering, what is he saying over there? I'm just kidding. Thank you for being gracious with me. I just found out I'm saying Colossians. Because in Spanish, it's Colossenses. Colossenses. Plus, you see the O over there. What's the sound of the O? O. Now, whatever. Anyways, you can tell I love English, right? I mean, you can tell already that I enjoy it. No, I do enjoy it, actually. So, I did not bring grapes, first of all. And if I ever bring something, it will probably be
tacos.
Thank you. I train you so well, yes. Let me tell you, you're in the right track, guys. I'm telling you, okay? We all are going to heaven. Well, that's for sure. I would like to welcome our sister Sue and her son, Sky. This guy, when I met him, was like this tall, okay? Now he's like, you're a tall, tall guy, man. You know what's funny? I can see already that in 10 years, I'm going to be the shorter person in this church. It's okay. We always need a short guy. Say what? Thank you. I appreciate that. No, we always need a short guy. I'll be the short guy, okay? All right. Let's go to the book of Colossians, chapter 2. If you can open your Bible. If you cannot open, maybe somebody can help you open it. Colossians. I'm going to go 16 to 19. Chapter 2, verse 16 to the verse 19. The plan was to go all the way to 23, but there was so much information that I'm like, I'm going to have to cut it in half. Okay, we'll see how it goes. Now, before I start in 16, I have to go back a little bit. I'm going to read from the 13th. Okay, you can follow with me. So, Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing, over them in him. I think you know that word, over them in him. Okay, so he's the way he's finishing this part. Okay, so because of this, because he already triumphed over all these things, over, listen to this, legal demands. Legal. I mean, it was the right thing, basically, right? That you were going to be judged in a certain way. However, he disarmed the rulers, talking about Jesus, talking about God, and authorities, and putting open shame by triumphing over them in him. Okay, because of this, he's telling us this. This is, pay attention. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink. By the way, when he says questions, he's not talking about a question. He's talking about a subject and things about food and drink. Or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. Now, let's remember that all these people, the only thing that they've seen, well, not the only thing, but they grew up basically all the time hearing about the law. Right? Everything was about the law. You follow the law here, the law there, blah, 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 blah. Always the law, the rules. You need to follow them. So this is, he's talking about the law, all right? But he's saying these things, what we're talking about food, drink, and if you should go to church on a Saturday or on a Sunday, parenthesis, this is very funny. Oh, I don't know if it is funny, but I was listening to a documentary of this guy, I don't know his name, of course, but he was explaining the vision that, I don't know how to say this, Nebuchadnezzar, whatever, how do you, that guy, okay, the one that he said, remember the vision about this big statue with the gold and the kind of stuff, okay, this guy explained everything, you know, with the Bible and stuff, and I was fascinated, I was like, wow, that is amazing, you know, I mean, it sounds so true. But then at the end, the conclusion of this whole thing, he explained that the Catholic Church and how it influenced Christianity nowadays. And he basically said that it's wrong that we get together on a Sunday. And because the way he was explaining it, I was like, I need to call Phil and tell him, bro, we need to stop meeting on Sundays. We need to meet on Saturdays now, you know? And we can call this a coincidence if we want, but that same, well, the next day in the morning, I read this part. And I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord, because I was already getting worried. Are we meeting in the wrong day or what? You know, it's not about that. Amen. It's not about that. We can meet on Wednesday, on Tuesday, it doesn't matter, right? So he's saying all those things that have become so important to you because you grew up listening to those things are a shadow. Those things are just telling you of the things to come. Now, this sounds a little bit interesting because Jesus already was there. You know, he ascended to heaven. But it took me a little bit to understand that he's talking about Jesus. The law was pointing 100% to the Messiah, to Jesus. What did Jesus do when he came? He fulfilled the entire law, the whole thing, from the beginning to the end. So, but the substance, what really matters, the core or of the whole thing, you see how thing is a really good word to use everywhere, is Christ. I love it. Everything goes back to Jesus. Everything goes back to Jesus. So, because of this, let no one, he's using the same expression, let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind. Let me go back a little bit. Insisting on asceticism. Don't laugh. My wife is laughing at me from over there. So actually, I was telling Christy, you need to come check this word, asceticism. And she's like, how do you say asceticism? Asceticism. That doesn't sound right. It's asceticism. I'm sure. I know. And then, you know, we went and did some research, and I even played the pronunciation. Asceticism. It's like, oh, okay, whatever. Anyways, I practiced like half an hour, but it didn't work out, I guess. Asceticism. Is that close? No. Oh, asceticism. I think we should stop the preaching right now, man. Everybody, let's go home and pray for me, please, okay? Asceticism. Yes. Asceticism. I had no idea what that is, of course, or what that was. Now I know. That word is the doctrine that through renunciation of worldly pleasures, it is possible to achieve high spiritual or intellectual state. Yeah, me too. I was like, really? You see, if I told you, okay, check this out. If I told you guys there is a way to get in a higher spiritual level, okay, and you're going to get into a higher intellectual state, does that sound good to you? I think it sounds amazing. It sounds good. I'm just saying it sounds good. It sounds like something. Hey, man, I want to get there. Right? However, it is something that you are, or the people that practice that, they are trying to do. So guess what? Guess who's going to get the credit if somebody gets over there doing this? They won't, right? But let's say they can get over there. They're going to get the credit, right? They're going to be like, oh, I did something that took me to this level, if it was possible, doing something by yourself. Now, this might look good and help you be self-disciplined. Earthly pleasures, the Bible talks about self-control. It's a good thing, right? And maybe if you restrict yourself, it's like an extreme action, like restrict yourself, I don't know, I'm going to make it up, from not eating in 40 days, let's say. It sounds like, wow, man, that sounds very spiritual, right? Now, I saw, anyways, three dangerous things with this asceticism. First of all, achieving a high spiritual or and intellectual state, God is the only one that can take your spirit and change you. And I'm going to call it, just because of the example, take you to another level. Even though I want to be careful with that word because that sounds like you're going to be better than someone else in some way. I mean, does that make sense? Or is it too confusing? Is it good? Are we okay? God is the only one that can do something to your spirit. Well, actually, I mean, the enemy can do too if you allow that, right? But what I mean is God is the one that can change your heart and your mind, and you know that already, okay? God is the one that can transform your mind so he can take you at another level, intellectually speaking. What is the intellect? It's what you know and what you understand. God will take you. He can take you over there. But he doesn't need you to be, you know, hurting on yourself with a rod or something. Okay? Now, asceticism cannot take away your sins. Check this out. Asceticism cannot take away your sin. You know what separates man from God? Sin. What then? Why then would you go do something that doesn't take away your sin? That is the main thing that is blocking the relationship with the Lord. That's what people need, right? Take away the sin. Only the blood of Jesus does, like Revelation 1:5 says. He freed us from our sins by his blood. It's the blood of Jesus, not asceticism. It does not, practicing this, it does not lead you to the Father. Jesus does. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. Remember that one? And no one can come to the Father except through him. So, he's saying, guys, pay attention to this, because it sounds really good. But it's not as good as it sounds. It's a lie. And now, in worship of angels, that sounds very divine, right? It sounds like, wow. I mean, we do know the Bible says that angels are, in this case, I guess we can talk about level. They are in a higher level than we are as humans, right? However, you will never find in the Bible that God shared his glory with the angels. He let us enjoy his glory, right? But he does not share his glory because he's God. He's the only one that can deserve something like that. So do not worship or do not go crazy worshiping angels. Even though it sounds like that sounds heavenly anyways. Angels exist. They're in the Bible. Well, yeah. But they are not made for you to worship them. Then we move on to the next part, going on in detail about visions. I like the fact that he's using the word detail, because the detail gives you a lot of details, right? Being specific about things, about visions, like, this is kind of interesting, this is going to sound really weird, I've been meeting with some Mormons. Don't get scared. These guys approached me. And my first reaction, I don't know about you, I don't have a lot of knowledge about Mormonism, by the way. My first approach was like, man, can you come another day or something? You know, I just wanted to do anything right now. Anyways, after that, I went and started to do some research. What is Mormonism? What do they believe? Right? Why are they coming to my house, knocking on my door when I'm trying to have dinner and they're talking about Jesus. And I say, yeah, thank you. I'm a believer too. But at the same time, it sounded like we were not the same. So I started to do some research. And I found a video of somebody saying what you should do when a Mormon approaches you. Can you guess what this person was saying? I was like, ready. Yes, this is the answer. I'm going to get these guys back. This is what the person said. When a Mormon approaches you, or any other, you know, religion, whatever, talking about Mormons right now, love them. That hit me. Ah, really? Yeah. Love them. Listen to them. they share with you, you get to share the truth. You never know. Maybe God might use you, you know, to open their eyes from what they're believing and seeing. So love them. So that was a good lesson for me, to be honest. And you know, I met with him with them once. It was fun. I mean, fun in the sense that I got to share with them my heart. You know, this is the truth. Of course, there were some differences, and we'll see how it goes. So please, whenever you remember that, pray for me. So about visions. Okay, the reason why I thought of that is because they right away told me, do you believe in prophets? And I'm like, well, yeah, there are prophets in the Bible. But do you believe there are prophets right now? And I said, you know what? I know the Bible says about some people having the, you know, the gift or prophecy. However, I'm going to tell you this. If there is anybody, I don't care the name, I don't care the title, I don't care how amazing this person is. If there is anybody that prophesies something that goes a tiny bit, just a tiny bit against what the Bible says, I'm out. I don't believe it. Even if it sounds right, I'm out. Because the Bible does not contradict itself. It's inspired by God, and it's perfect. In this case, it is perfect. It's the Word of God, and it is perfect. And of course, that took to another conversation, but anyways. So, about visions, right? Because apparently this boy, I think his name was Smith, he had a vision, and then he started to explain and stuff. And of course, I don't know much about it, so I was just listening to him. Anyways, going on in detail about visions, be careful with those. Puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind. I don't know why I have to share with you this. The word puffed up sounds like popcorn to me. You know, like puff. I don't know why. So every time I was reading this part to Christ, I was saying, popcorn without reason by his sensuous mind. That's an inside joke, by the way. You don't need to laugh about that one. So anyway, puffed up, like proud, without reason, by his sensuous mind, by things that you can feel, by your senses, right? Things that feel good, things that feel right. They can feel good, they can feel right, they can look like they are right, but they are not. Verse 19, in not holding fast to the head. Now, if you pay attention to the word head, it's a capital H. That changes the game. You know that, right? Because it's not talking about a head, like an actual head. It's talking about the head. It's talking about God. Jesus, he is the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. Now, the reason why Noah is not talking about an actual body, you know, remember that I studied nutrition, human nutrition, so I think I have an idea what I'm saying when I say it right now. The nutrients do not come from the head. They come from, of course, from the food, right? But they come from the whole digestive system. From the moment you put food in your mouth, there are some cells in your mouth that start, you know, what's the word? Thank you. You went to school, huh? Okay. Absorbing the nutrients, right? And, of course, it goes through the whole digestive system, and then you know how it ends. Let's forget about that. So that's the absorption process. That's how you get the nutrients, and they go everywhere. They go to the bloodstream, and that feeds every single part of your body, every single tissue, organ, you name it, right? But in this case, the head, Jesus, is the one that nourished the body. Now, I had to work with the word, am I saying it right, nourish? Okay, because that was a new word for me. Check this out. Even though I'm pretty sure you know this word, it says to provide with food or other substances necessary for life and for growth. That's interesting. Because when I read this, I thought, okay, that's food. It is more than just food. It is food. But it is what makes you grow. And even though I know, you know, like Sky and other guys are going to grow more, probably more than me, and I don't want to grow anymore because if I grow, I'm not going to grow this way. I'm going to grow this way. You know what I'm saying? But it might happen. It might happen. I'm getting there little by little. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. So we still want to grow in Jesus. Now, the ones that can make you grow in Him, it's Him. Ha! That makes sense. Jesus is the only one that can feed you, that can give you what you need for life. Very important. For life, but also for growth. And knit together through its joints. That made me think, if we go back to verse, what is it? Verse 2, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love. I think it's a key, that together in love, right? It's not just because, oh, well, you know, yeah, we kind of believe the same thing. No, it's not only that. We knit together in love. We knit together in Jesus, right? Because it's joints and ligaments. You know what that is? Is anybody here joints and ligaments? You have an idea what that is? You have an idea what that is? Good for you, my friend. So the joints and ligaments are what the part of your body, right? For instance, this is a joint. I don't know how to describe it in English. I don't know what I'm doing talking about this. But this is a joint. But it is, in order to function well, it is connected, attached through ligaments. Right? I know about ligaments. I'm going to tell you why. Because the ligaments from my right knee, they broke. And it is weird because, you know, I mean, you know how your leg bends like this? Right? Well, mine bent that way. It hurts. It hurts. When the ligaments and the joints are not working, I'm not going to ask you to raise like, how many of you have pain in your ligaments and joints? Don't worry. I do. It is awful. It is painful. You cannot do things. You cannot function well. You following me? The ligaments and the joints need to work in agreement, let's say, in order to function. Otherwise, it's painful. And it grows with a growth that is from God. Do you remember the part that says, I planted, Apollos watered, but Jesus, but God, is the one that makes it grow. Have you heard that before? It doesn't matter who planted. It doesn't matter who's watering the seed. What matters is the one that gives the growth. Talking about Jesus. Going back to Jesus. It goes back to Jesus all the time. So, I noticed something that I want to share with you, of course, right? I found 4 times in chapter 2, and there might be more times, I'm talking about chapter 2 right now. 4 times in which Paul is saying, do not let no one to, and then he says something. 4 times. Let me read them for you. Chapter 2, verse 4. It says, I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. I say this in order that nobody deceives you, makes you believe a lie, with an argument that sounds really good. It's a warning. Guys, I'm telling you this so nobody makes you believe a lie. Pay attention to this. Verse 8, see that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. See that no one makes you a prisoner of a lie. of something that is not truth. You know why? Because you're going to lose your freedom. You're going to lose your freedom in the Word of God. You're going to lose your freedom in Jesus. If you believe a lie, then you're going to be a prisoner of this. And it's hard. Remember what I shared last time. It is easier to convince somebody, to deceive somebody, right, than to convince them that they have been deceived. That is a hard one. That is a hard one. So, let no one take you captive. 16. Therefore, that's where we started. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food, drink, and he starts explaining. Let no one disapprove you or someone's opinion to get so in the inner core of your heart, right, that it will make you feel or see that you're not worthy, that you are wrong, that you are talking about a person here, right? Let no one do that to you, to your heart. Fourth warning, verse 18, let no one disqualify you, insisting on and that word that we said before, asceticism, close, asceticism, right? In this case, because passing judgment and disqualifying sounds like the same thing, it's talking about making you unsuitable to receive the prize. Right? For instance, if you're in a competition, and for instance, that is, how do you call this sport? It's actually walking. I mean, you can walk, but really fast, right? But the rule is that you cannot be floating. The rule is that at least one of your feet needs to be touching the ground. How do you call that sport? I don't know how you call it. Walking. That's very smart. Walking, okay? But it's a sport. You know, and these guys walk miles, right? So if you're walking too fast and then you're actually at some point, both your feet are not touching the ground, they will disqualify you. You're out. You're cheating. You cannot earn the prize. You cannot win the prize because you are not following the rules. Right? Same thing. If we get lost into all these things that the world is trying to get us to believe, guys, we can lose track of where we're going. And then we will be worried about those rules that the world is setting or trying to make us believe, we're going to be disqualified. So, what do we do then? Of course, right? What do we do to be able to not fall into any of these lies or, you know, dangers of this world? I want to read something to you. So what do? We stand on the truth. We stand on the truth. And of course, if I'm talking about truth, I need to define what truth is. I need to give you an example. And I found this article I liked. It says, in defining truth, it is first helpful to note what truth is not. I'm going to read what truth is not so we can understand what truth really is. And of course, to define a word, you cannot use the same word to define it. That doesn't make sense, right? Like nowadays, you ask somebody, hey, what is a woman? And they say somebody that considers themselves a woman. I don't even know how to describe that answer, all right? But I cannot use the word truth to describe the truth. So the truth, what is not? Truth is not simply whatever works. It's not whatever works. This is the philosophy of pragmatism, an ends versus means type approach. In reality, lies can appear to work, but they are still lies and not the truth. Truth is not simply what is coherent or understandable. A group of people can get together and form a conspiracy based on a set of falsehoods where they all agree to tell the same false story, but it does not make their presentation true. How about that? That's a good one. I like that one. Truth is not what makes people feel good. Ooh, that's a good one. It's not what makes people feel good. Unfortunately, bad news can be true. Truth is not what the majority says is true. 51% of a group can reach a wrong conclusion. Truth is not what is comprehensive. A lengthy, detailed presentation can still result in a false conclusion. Truth is not defined by what is intended. Good intentions can still be wrong. Truth is not how we know. Truth is what we know. Not how we know, but what we know. Truth is not simply what is believed. A lie believed is still a lie. Truth is not what is publicly proved. A truth can be privately known. For example, the location of a buried treasure. Did I say that right? Well, you know what I mean. A treasure that is hidden somewhere. So, you got that? I mention this because in my conversation with these two Mormon guys that I told you, I feel like at first my approach, or what I thought I needed to do, was to be able to understand and know enough to debate with them, to defend my point, to contradict, to prove them wrong, except to love them. And I'm going to give you an example, kind of a simple, silly example. Should we use somebody from here or not? Should we make a, 34 minutes? Oh my goodness, that's going too fast. Okay, sorry. Is there anybody here that know how to perform, you know, like a play, or like a knack that I can use, borrow for, you want to or not? It's okay if you say no. Yes? Come here. You're going to help me do something really quick. Guys, this is an example. Great, it's an example, okay? She didn't do anything wrong. So, how many of you know Lydia? Okay, Lydia Pearson. Say hi to Lydia. So, you're going to help me with this. They are jury. Is it jury? Yeah, okay. This is my wallet. You know, it's my wallet. In reality, it's my wallet. But let's say you found my wallet, and I have $2 million here, a check. I will be fine, by the way. There's nothing over there, okay? And you want it, of course, right? So, do you want $2 million? I'm just kidding. Okay. Do you? So, you found it, right? And you took this, and I told you, hey, that's my wallet. And you said, no, it's not. So you took this case to court, and we're here in front of the jury. So you're going to try to convince them. I'm going to give you, I don't know, 1 minute to convince these people. You can do whatever you want. You can even cry, whatever. You can call some, you know, Marcus is over there trying to help you. He's like, what she's saying is true. You can do whatever you want. You cannot open it because the jury took it, and then the wallet is here. Everybody can see it, but we cannot touch it. So, Lydia, go ahead and convince the people that that wallet is yours.
Thank you.
Sorry, you're trying to, don't say that because they're going to be like, oh, then the wallet is not yours. Okay. You need to make up a story that this wallet is yours because there is money in there that you want. So just, can we have this one on? Just, you need to lie right now, but we're just playing. Lie big. We're playing. Jody, okay, we're playing. So.
My grandma gave it to me. God rest her soul. And she left me an inheritance. Please don't take it from me. Thank you.
You may go say thank you. Okay. I think it's actually yours. I mean, you could. She could. Let me see. Is it mine? Wow. That was okay. That was good. She almost convinced me. I know it's my wallet. All right. So, but that was amazing. Thank you. That was impressive. Do you hear that? Young girl, beautiful young girl, crying, appealing to your heart. Some of you actually believed it, right? I almost did, to be honest. Appealing to you in a way that it made you feel things, that it made you see. She's almost crying. Her grandma, how important that is. Her grandma, so precious for her, right? And she can even jump, do a back flick and then a front flip and whatever. She can do whatever she can and want to try to convince you, going to the deepest part of your heart and your mind with a very plausible argument. This is, right? And then I get here and I go to the judge, and I would say, you look like a judge, amigo. You want to be the judge today? And I would say, Josh, can you please open the wallet? Can you see the ID over there? What does it say? Hold on. Do it again.
Gamaz Valdez Eli.
That was pretty good, bro. You speak Spanish? Yeah? Thank you, my friend. I appreciate that. You heard that? I don't need to cry. I don't need to make up a case because I could start saying, that is not true. My wife gave it to me. I know where she bought it. And she told me that, blah, blah, blah. I don't need to do that. I don't need to go all over the place to explain. Simple. Whose ID is here? It's my name. I have the truth. I don't need to worry about whatever. Lydia, trying to be smart and sneaky here, she's explaining and crying. I don't need to do that. I don't need to go to these Mormon guys and trying to explain, you are believing a lie and you're wrong. No, 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 no. Guys, I have the truth. It's easy. The truth. Guys, the truth cannot be hidden. You cannot hide the truth. It will eventually come out. The truth does not change. Something that is truth, you cannot change it. Nobody can change it because that's what it is. That is the reality of it. That's the actuality of it. That is the fact. That's what it is. The truth cannot be changed. It is constant. And now check this out. It lasts forever. It does not matter anything. It will last forever. You cannot hide it. You cannot change it. And you cannot end with it. It will last forever. The truth never loses. It always wins. Does that sound like somebody to you? The truth has a name. Brothers and sisters, the truth has a name. His name is Jesus. And we are standing on him. We are standing on the truth. It doesn't change. It will last forever. And we cannot hide it. This is what we're standing on. In the truth. In Jesus. And you know what we did to deserve it? Nothing. He gave himself. He loved so much. He gave himself for us because of love. We are standing on the truth. We're standing in Jesus. That's how we can keep walking. That's how we can grow in him. That's how nobody is going to deceive us, make us a prisoner, or disapprove us, or make us go astray from the way that is the truth, that is Jesus. We all need it. We all need to stay in him. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to have a relationship with you. Thank you, Jesus, for taking our place in the cross. Thank you for forgiving our sins. Thank you for showing us the way. Thank you for never changing. Thank you, God, for your love. We bless your name, God. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Thank you all. Thank you, Lydia, for your help. That was very fun.
Is this on? Okay. Thanks, Ali, for sharing that. There's a verse in the Bible. I don't know the reference, but it says something about the if you know the truth. In other words, the truth will set you free. And sometimes we think about that as maybe the truth will justify us or the truth will prove our point. But I think it simply means if we know the truth, we don't have to justify. We don't have to prove our point. We don't have to. We can let that all go, and in that way we're set free. It doesn't mean that people won't challenge us. It doesn't mean that things won't happen. But if we can learn to live that way, and it's really convicted me this morning because I know so often I feel like I have the truth, so I need to prove my point. I don't. And so I just want to learn to live that way more, even in everyday life or in work and whatever. So anyway, thanks for sharing that. Really appreciated it. All right, that's the end of this part of our service. And as I said before, lunch is here. It'll be ready soon. Everyone's welcome to stay. So let's just ask the close in prayer, and we'll ask a blessing on the food as well. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. Thank you that you care for each one of us. And I pray that as we go out and go out to another week, that you would be with each one. You would guide our steps. You would lead us. And you would just be with each one here. Thank you for this food. And just pray your blessing on it. In Jesus' name, amen.
I have a stack of Bibles here, of books and Bibles, and it keeps growing every Sunday. We put them on the back shelf here. There's also some coats that keep growing on the hangers back here. If you would just take a moment to come and see which one is yours and claim it, if it is yours, and take it home with you, that would probably be a blessing to you and